Well, go, baby, go, baby, go, baby, go. Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
And we are finally wrapping up the Henry's second birthday festivities.
Oh, boy.
It was many weeks.
It was a
month-long funibration, it felt like.
You're exaggerating.
Well, I mean, his birthday was the 24th.
Yeah, correct.
Here we are, May 2nd.
Yep.
That is like 3 weeks.
It was 1 week.
Yep.
And two of his best friends were not going to be able to make it last weekend. So I made the executive decision to have it this week.
My God. Anyone out there, that's the kind of friend you should be. The kind of friend where, like, birthday parties aren't going to happen unless you're able to be there. These kids were party animals. You know, synonymous with the word party, those two best friends of his. Thank God they came. you know, wouldn't have been a party without him.
I think
Henry had a great time. Those two had a great time.
Everyone else had a great time.
And everyone else had a great time. What a fun, you know. Look, we hit the park and had a funibration for Henry.
It was pitched as a very low key hang.
Yeah.
In honor of Henry's birthday. And I think it fit the bill.
It succeeded at what it was trying to do, which was not get anyone COVID and also be outdoors and also not be a thing that was, you know, no candle blowout, no.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. We did it. If you're wondering, my nose is still a little congested from my vaccine, apparently.
Or the cold that Henry gave us.
Aye, aye, aye. It's been a long time of this. That's probably why the birthday celebration feels so lengthy.
Because you've been sick.
Yeah.
Probably.
But otherwise, you know, here we are.
Here we are indeed.
So what else is going on here? We got some Mosaic news.
We got a. I would call it a bombshell.
Bombshell.
Breaking news. Dun dun dun.
Breaking news. If you're not in the Patreon, this is very breaking to you.
Yeah, Patreon. You guys already heard a lot of this, but we're gonna tell everyone else. So,
I mean, let's just start at ground zero.
Okay.
Which would be the last 4 years. 3 years, I'll say. Dory and I are under the assumption that that last embryo we have, which is a girl embryo, and has a segmental deletion that we think is like a mosaic, but then it wasn't a mosaic, but it is, I don't know. Anyway, we're like, okay, so we have this last embryo that is potentially maybe viable. We should try it. Dory wanted this for a long time. I, you know, it took me a little while to come around. So I come around and, you know, we rev the IVF engine back up.
Vroom, vroom.
And Dory goes to a couple of appointments with the Dr. Kelly Beck.
I apparently have surgery.
Dory goes in and thinking, oh, we're just gonna check everything out. Nope, we gotta deal with this other thing. Classic goalpost move. So Dory and I are like, wow, IVF, same as always.
Yep.
And then Dory goes to a follow up appointment. Yes, last week. And then also there was
to start the new cycle,
and also there was a scheduled call with a genetic counselor.
Which we had never done.
Dory says we've never done it. I think longtime listeners.
We only did it before we started the whole process. We never did it to discuss any frozen embryos we have. We never did it to discuss
Again,
any PGS tested
I
embryos.
Remember it differently, but I'm not arguing about it.
You
I'm
also
just
didn't remember
my
seeing my book cover. So
yeah. Look, you know. Book covers and embryos are the same. Totes. Anyway, Dory has a call with a genetic counselor last week, and Dory, take it from here.
Okay, so I am under the assumption that this conversation is just going to be about this one embryo that we want to transfer. And we're going to be discussing like what the possibilities are, like what a segmental deletion means, like, you know, is it viable, blah, 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 blah. But then she comes at me with, okay, so we're going to be discussing three rounds, like three batches of embryos that we have results for, because the company that this woman worked for, they bought the company that did our original PGS tests mm-hmm. for two rounds. And then there was another round that I think was with the current company or another company they bought. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, like, I guess she just wants to go over everything. And then she's like, we're going to save the July 2016 round for last, because that one was retromosaiced. And I'm like, okay, like literally never heard this term before.
Don't know what it means.
Don't know what it means. Just thinking, okay.
I think retro mosaic. I think tiny pieces of tile in Italy.
So we go over the segmental deletion embryo, which is very interesting. And she said it's a large deletion, which sounds bad, but she says it's actually better than a small deletion, because basically it means that if it survives, if it implants, then there's like a very good chance that it will be completely normal, because the abnormal cells will have died off and the normal cells will like take over, essentially.
So if it's a large deletion, then it can hit Command Z.
Correct.
It'll undo.
Yes. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Pardon the air noise, obviously, Dory and I decided to do this from an air show.
Yep. So then she goes through the issues with the other embryo from that round. That was also the round that we got Henry from. So there's one more embryo that had many abnormalities, whatever, we discussed that. Then we move on to another round where she tells me that there is one embryo that has an extra chromosome 15. And she goes through like what this means, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And then we go through the other embryos from that round.
At any point, does it sound like astrology?
No, but like,
an extra 15. Now, this is very good. This is good. I hear this is good, because the 15 is,
it was
the...
just, it was so much information. And I was trying to take notes because I wanted to be able to accurately represent our conversation, not just for this podcast, but to Matt.
Yeah. And a court of law.
And then we get to the July round, and she's like, okay, so your clinic asked us to retromosaic these embryos. And I'm like, that's weird. Why would they ask to retromosaic a round of embryos that like we had never discussed? So my theory is that someone somewhere messed up and asked for the wrong round of embryos, or the lab, the, you know, the genomics lab misinterpreted it and analyzed the wrong batch of embryos. So anyway, because the segmental deletion is from the October 2016 round, not the July 2016 round.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, back in the day, in 2016, when we first did retrievals and made embryos, PGS testing, the lab that we did it with, only told you if you had abnormal or normal embryos. They did not classify things as mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
But now they can go back and look at the reports and reclassify these embryos as mosaic.
Hmm.
So this round from July 2016 that we had been told we had one normal embryo and three abnormal embryos, and the one normal embryo was the girl that we put in before we knew that I had a uterine septum.
Yes.
So now, she says, two of these embryos are actually high-level mosaic embryos.
Which, again, what does that mean?
It means they're not...
These are the Command Zs?
They would not be, like, if you had normal embryos, they would not be, like, your first choice to transfer.
Yeah.
But there have now been enough studies, there have been studies done of mosaic embryos, and high-level mosaic embryos generally have a live birth rate of around 30-35%.
So what you're saying is these two July embryos.
Yes.
Have a 30% chance of catching.
Correct.
Interesting.
And then
the October embryo, we still don't know. Because they still haven't done it.
So then she says, well, we can retromosaic these other two rounds. Do you want me to do that? And I'm like, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So she said...
How much is this?
It's free.
Oh, great. Then yes, please.
It's all included in what we already paid out the nose for. Here, I'm just going to open my notes.
Oh, copious note taking.
I really took copious notes. So basically she said we had this one embryo from July 2016 that was missing a chromosome 22 that was listed as abnormal.
Double deuce.
Now it's come back as high level mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
So according to this counselor, if the segmental embryo, they're going to retromosaic the segmental embryo. If the segmental embryo comes back as mosaic, that will be the priority one to try.
This is from the October round?
Yes.
Gotcha. Henry's the July round, or Henry's the
Henry's
October?
Henry's the October.
Okay.
If it doesn't come back mosaic, she suggests that we try this missing 22.
Interesting. Okay.
And then the next one, she strongly suspects that the one with the extra 15 is mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
So she would put that one next priority.
So extra 22, then extra 15.
Yes, then missing 16.
Missing 16.
Yes.
Missing 16 is the one we were originally thought we were talking about.
No. Segmental deletion was the one we originally thought we were talking about.
And the segmental deletion we have no new information on.
But we will have new information on.
Wild stuff.
Here. Yes.
So now there's potentially, just off this recent two-batch retromosaic, there's potentially three embryos.
Two, but one when one hasn't been retromosaic yet, but she thinks when it is retromosaic, it will come back as mosaic.
So there is one potential.
There's the segmental one that we always knew about.
Yes,
which hasn't been relooked at, but it's still a candidate for transfer.
Yes, but of the things that she has relooked at,
two are candidates for transfer. One is probably a candidate for transfer.
Which would make a total of three over there.
Yes.
Yes. And then the other retromosaic. So there is a potential that there are four embryos.
Yes.
To which we thought there might be one.
Yes.
Okay. So that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. So I'm still like wrapping my head around this.
We all are. So this is, you know, I mean, what a difference a week makes, everybody.
Yeah, and look, they could all not work.
Correct.
But, like, just the fact that we have the even, like, glimmer of possibility.
Also correct.
That they could work is, like, a whole new thing. And also, we know that these embryos are still frozen because we've still been paying for them at CFP.
Although, what if they were like, these aren't still frozen? What are you talking about?
No, because I got a report of how many that were frozen, and there were like 18 frozen. And I was like, why do we have so many frozen embryos? And then I was like, oh my God, they still have the abnormal ones frozen. And then I was like, well, because there was that whole thing where they were going to keep the segmental one and not charge us for it.
Yeah.
And then the person who like took over was like, no, like we're not honoring that. And I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
So they were like, you have to keep paying. And I was like, okay, well, so at that point I was like, well, I'm not gonna like Because I'd been like, well, just get rid of all the abnormal ones and we'll just keep this free segmental one. And they were like, no, 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 you have to pay for the segmental one. And at that point, I just stopped like discussing getting rid of any. She was like, you can dispose of them, but you have to get this notarized and blah. And I was like, oh, forget it. So.
I mean, that's just there. There's so much there. So, I mean, that's your bombshell for the week. Enjoy that, everyone, and unpack it now. Also, Dory, when do you think our transfer will be?
Dr. Kelly Beck thinks it will be May 14th.
May 14th, the day that my parents arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence?
I think not.
I think it is. Oh. Very much a coincidence.
There's no such thing as a coincidence.
Okay, true. So, that said, we don't know what we're doing. Tune in next week.
TLDR, we don't know.
Tune in next week, because by next week, the other round will be retro mosaic.
It should be, yeah. Yeah.
So, big, big cliffhanger, guys.
I mean.
Oh, if you have any thoughts on this, if has anything like this happened to you, let
us
know.
Did you know that retro mosaic existed?
If you did, we're sending out the retro mosaic signal ourselves.
Yes.
We rarely get to send out signals.
I know. We've been signalless for so long.
Ugh. Guys, this IVF podcast just became an IVF podcast again.
Just when we thought we were done.
Just look out, everyone. It's happening.
Oh, and I should also...
It's happening.
Oh, thank God you have that. The segmental embryo is a girl.
Yeah.
The 22 is a girl.
Yeah.
The 15 is a boy.
Yeah.
And the 16 is a girl.
So 3 and 1.
Yeah. We always had more girl embryos than boy embryos, but the girls didn't work.
There you go. Anything else, honey? On our topics of us?
Well, totally unrelated to this.
Oh.
Next week, tune in next week, because next week we'll be announcing the very special and exciting pre-order incentive for Thanks for Waiting.
There you go. I mean, just wait for the fucking, the paperback added chapter of Thanks for Waiting about this.
Seriously.
Thanks for waiting to put us in by the embryos. All right. If you want to email us or have any information for us, that'd be great. Do so. Dory Matt at Gmail or Matt and Dory at Gmail. You can also call us 413-461-BABY. And send us a voice email if you'd like. You can send us a voice recording over the email if you don't want to dial international numbers, if you don't live in the States. And also check out our Facebook group. What is it? How does it go? Facebook?
Facebook.com/group/Excellent Adventure.
There you go. Well, I mean, now let's hear from everybody else.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat wicking, blister preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or for Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Hello, we're back.
Hello.
No one has emailed us about this mosaic thing. What's going on?
How rude.
Hmm.
Well, we did hear from Julie.
Oh.
Who said, "Hi, Dory and Matt. I've been listening to your podcast since last summer when I officially began my IVF journey. At first, I resisted following and listening to IVF podcasters as I found the manifestation and positive mindset stuff too annoying." Oh, don't worry. There's no positive
mindset stuff
around here. "But your personalities and style immediately spoke to me, as your dynamic kind of reminds me of myself and my husband." Sorry. Just kidding. "I love your no bullshit approach. I was lucky to have a chemical pregnancy and to then immediately get pregnant with my now 2.5-year-old son. And wow. I assumed that my miscarriages were over and getting pregnant with baby number two would be easy. In April 2020, we got pregnant after 7 months of trying, and I figured I would just spend the pandemic cooking up a child. At our first appointment at 10 weeks because of COVID, I was told there was no heartbeat and the baby had probably died at 7 weeks. My husband was on FaceTime at home with our child. Again, COVID rules, and it was devastating all around. We had a D&C, and they determined for sure it was a chromosomal abnormality. At 39, with 2 miscarriages under my belt, they determined IVF was the way to go. As an added bonus, the D&C resulted in scarring. I had an emergency C-section for my first birth, which they believe was the cause. So here we are, a year later, months of waiting for a period to return, a hysteroscopy, 2 rounds of egg retrievals, and finally we have 3 genetically viable embryos. 3! I know I should feel lucky. We are transferring at the end of May. Everyone keeps telling me I should be so excited as it's been such a long year. We are finally doing this transfer. I've gotten a lot of advice to think positively, manifest this transfer working, et cetera, et cetera. And I just feel panicked,
to be honest.
I know I should feel confident because I've had a healthy live birth previously, and supposedly with the genetically viable embryos, we have addressed the problem, right? Except that I hear all the time how transfers just don't work for unknown reasons. Something that is also putting stupid pressure on us is that we have 1 female, 2 male embryos, and we are trying the female first. We really wanted a boy and a girl, and of course, so do our parents. I know there will be an element of gender disappointment if the first transfer doesn't work and a male embryo ends up working. Even though I really only want a sibling for my toddler, and I know I've got to let go of having a girl. So this is a very long-winded way of asking you all to reassure me that the mindset doesn't really matter so much. I was reassured going back and listening to your podcast when you're waiting to find out about Henry, and I know Dory didn't feel super confident then.
Well, she was pessimistic up the wazoo.
Of course, it would be great if I could be positive and not stressed, but I'm just not sure that's possible, and I want to reassure myself that it won't mess with my chances. Thanks for everything you do. 1,100 square feet in Philly with 1 husband, 1 toddler, 2 cats, 1 pet rock belonging to said toddler, and no hot dogs in 2021. Sure, my husband has made up for that 0 total. Thanks, Julie.
There seems to be a real hot dog shortage happening out there, everybody.
You know what there is a shortage of, I'm now convinced?
What?
My cereal.
Barber's Crunch? Well,
yes.
I've never seen it at Smart and Final ever.
Oh.
The fact that they had it on the list, I thought that was crazy.
Hmm. Anyway, sorry, Julie. Yeah, I mean, I think some people think positive mindset works, but also I don't really think it does.
I've got some fun advice.
What is it?
It's happening regardless. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you spend a lot of time worrying about it or not. Like, I worry about things all the time. But also in the back of my head, I have this thing of like, if I have like a pitch or like a meeting or something that I'm like anxious about, I always think about the end point on the Zoom, like where it says this meeting is 11 to 11:45. I always think about what I'll be doing at 11:52 p.m. or a.m., whatever the hell it is. And I'll be like, well, I'll have gone through that. It'll be over regardless. Whatever the outcome is, it'll be done. I always think about that instead of the actual ugh.
I like that.
So, in the same sort of sphere of things, I know I can't tell you not to be anxious about it, but I can also tell you to, like, why don't you think about the first week of June? Mm-hmm. And like, because this will have already happened. Mm-hmm. And that'll be that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's helpful or not, but
I like that.
Thanks, honey. Anytime, anything I don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
That I know I have to do. I'm always thinking about the 10 minutes after it's finished.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, I hope that's helpful.
It probably isn't. But look, what I'll say is you can waste energy having negative thoughts about it. You can waste energy having positive thoughts about it, or you could just not waste the energy and have what I would describe as thoughts about after it.
I mean, I think the worst is
post-thoughts.
I think the worst is when you have thoughts about the thoughts you think you should be having.
Yeah, don't worry about that for sure.
Think your thoughts.
Think your thoughts and thought your things.
Yep. All right. This is from Lauren. From Lauren. Hi, Matt and Dory. I'm a few episodes behind, but I just heard you talking about your XX embryo you will be transferring. You didn't exactly ask for any experiences, but I thought I would share mine. I got pregnant with my first daughter from a fresh transfer, so we didn't have the opportunity to do any genetic testing. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get any results after 3 NIPT tests, so we decided to do an amnio because of previous bad egg/sperm. We found out she had a microdeletion on the long arm of chromosome 1. After an in-depth meeting with a genetic counselor, we were told that it is an abnormality with unknown impact, but the list of potential issues was long and scary. We also found out my husband has the same microdeletion and doesn't have any adverse effect, so we hoped it would be the same for her. We basically were told that if everyone in the world had this type of genetic testing, a large proportion would show some type of abnormality.
What did I say to you?
This
I said
is what
the exact
I say
same
all the,
thing
yeah,
to you.
I know. I think this all the time. It took a while, but we are finally at peace with the fact that science moves much faster than medicine, and sometimes you have too much information.
What do I say to you all the time?
You say this all the time. Our daughter is now a healthy 18-month-old, and so far none of the potential issues have arisen. Good luck with this transfer, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that you have a positive outcome. Living in 900 square feet in Melbourne, Australia, with a husband, a toddler, and a dog. No hot dogs in 2021, but many a sausage.
Many a sausage.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Lauren. For speaking the language.
I think this is helpful to keep in mind.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't, I mean, how many of us? I mean, I guarantee you I had something going on.
But there's also people who are born with, you know, whatever issues, quote unquote, or, you know, rare genetic diseases. Like, that does happen.
That's, for sure.
You know, it's not impossible. So, I don't know. But thank you, Lauren, and I'm glad your daughter is healthy. Okay, from Amanda. Just wanted to share our experience with trying for a second kid since that seems to be the buzz lately, and to be prepared for anything. We had to go through IVF due to my husband's cancer diagnosis, who is currently in remission. Pandemic.
Excellent.
Then 4 failed IUIs and 1 fresh transfer with 1 embryo transferred ended up with spontaneously identical twins.
Oh, my God.
It was certainly a shock for us since we only ever wanted 2. Our IVF doctor told us it was a 1 to 2% chance. It's taken a while for both of us to come to terms with having 3 kids, but we are slowly getting used to it. It is definitely much harder this time around, being 5 years older and having two in there. Our daughter is excited by the thought of two brothers, but I don't think she knows what is about to happen to her. Obviously, this might not happen to y'all, but we also thought it wouldn't happen to us. So far, no complications except possible vasa previa diagnosis. Baby B's cord is currently lying on my cervix. So if anyone has any advice or experiences with this, I would love to hear about it. Love the pod. Listening to y'all made me super prepared to handle IVF. And Matt was always my favorite on The Nerdist. And Forever 35 is another favorite. Amanda in 2,400 square feet in Burlington, Massachusetts, home of the Burlington Mall.
Yep, there's a Cheesecake Factory there, you know.
Me, my husband, one daughter, two crazy cats, and two boys on the way. Too many hot dogs to count, mostly due to my daughter and husband. P.S. Have either of you been to Coney Island Hot Dogs in Worcester? Seriously, the best hot dogs in the state. And if you have not gone, I would highly recommend checking it out the next time you are in Massachusetts. Order the works or order it up, which includes onions, mustard, and their special chili sauce.
Mm, I like mustard and onions. That's my hot dog jam. Hmm.
I've not spent much time in Worcester.
I've spent some time in Worcester.
You probably went to the Centrum.
Sure. Yeah. And all those Holy Cross games. I'm kidding. But, you know, Lowell has a famous hot dog place called Elliot's.
Oh.
Ed McMahon stopped there. You know, Ed McMahon's from Lowell. The late, great Ed McMahon. Mm-hmm. Along with Olympia Dukakis.
And Jack Kerouac.
And me.
And Matt Myra.
And we probably all love Elliot's hot dogs.
R.I.P. Olympia Dukakis.
R.I.P. indeed.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I might be the last Lowellian.
You're the last Lowellian.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, there were.
But the answer is I haven't had Coney Island hot dogs.
There was a pair of twins at Henry's little birthday gathering today.
Were they spontaneous?
They were.
Aye.
Identical, spontaneously conceived twins.
Do you? I mean, that's like. I don't even.
I mean, you saw their mom. She's tiny.
Yeah, but I'm just like, I can't even like think about it like. Like, if Henry was twins, okay. But
like, now to have twins, I know.
To have twins on top of Henry,
yeah,
is like...
Feels insane.
No, that's ridiculous. That's very ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
It's already like... You know, sometimes Beau really does feel like a second kid.
Yes.
So, like, the idea of, like, Beau, Henry, and two other babies... It's a nightmare.
That would be...
We'd need a much bigger car.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be horrific. We'd have to get a third row.
Yeah, we'd be one of those people with a third row.
Ugh. God. If you have a third row, I don't know what to tell you.
A lot of people have third rows.
That's crazy.
Karen and Steve have a third row. They have the XC90 with a third row.
Okay.
So, you know.
You know what I think about Karen and Steve? I don't listen to their podcast, so I can't think anything about them.
Okay. check out In Loco Parents if you want to listen to two lawyers talking about being parents. Okay. It's from Katie. Hello, Shafrira family. I have some questions, but first a story. So last night I had a dream about you. That was what I could only describe as bizarrely normal. It's almost like my subconscious wrote a spec script for your podcast.
Sure.
I'm not a TV writer, but that's the closest comparison I can think of. In the dream, you'd made a video recording of you two recording the podcast that I was watching. A listener had written in about converting to another religion, and the following conversation ensued.
But should we just take the parts?
Yes, we should.
Well, just think, if you convert, you have to go out and buy all new religious texts, and what a pain that would be.
If I converted to a new religion, I don't think that would be first on my list.
Well, you have to have the latest religious text if you're really going to commit.
I think between you, me, and Kate, I'd be able to get any religious book I needed.
Really? I don't know that we have a single religious book in the house.
And this person added the parenthetical, yes, I'm a Forever 35 listener, so my subconscious dragged Kate into this for some reason. At this point in the dream... You were so deep into this discussion that you forgot you were video recording the podcast. Matt went out of frame and started searching to see how many religious texts he could find in the house. Dora used the time to tidy up a bit and then chill on the couch,
sure.
Which we could see in the corner of the camera's view. I'm not religious, so it was a bizarre topic that my subconscious chose, but somehow it felt like that's exactly how that conversation would happen. Anyway, to my question. My science baby just turned one. and we are starting to think about baby number two, but I'm not sure where to begin, and I'm curious for your opinion. The journey to our first was a year of trying the old-fashioned way, followed by a missed miscarriage that was discovered at 10 weeks, then another year of trying the old-fashioned way, then undiagnosed infertility, medicated IUI, Clomid plus trigger shot. We got very lucky, and our second IUI worked. Because we never found a root cause, I'm debating whether we should call our fertility clinic first before trying naturally. I have to make an appointment with my OB to get my IUD out, so I will ask her opinion too, but I'm just debating between trying naturally for a few months or just calling up the clinic to cut to the chase. I'm 34, my husband is 35, and I know the whole 35-year-old woman equals geriatric pregnancy is partially rooted in patriarchy, but also partially rooted in science. So we are hoping to get to baby number two sooner rather than later. Also, a less serious question. When did you decide to cut Henry's hair, and any tips for at-home haircuts? My baby was born with a lot of hair, and while we rock ponytails most of the time, I'm a big safe sleep follower, so I don't let him have hair ties in his crib because I worry he will try to eat them. So it's in his face a lot of the time overnight and in the mornings. Leads to some epically beautiful bedhead and some hilarious comparisons ranging from Kate Gosselin to Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men.
That's a good hairdo.
As always, thanks for all you do. Your podcast was such a huge help when we first started working with a fertility clinic and helped us know what to expect. Katie in 1,600 square feet in Vancouver, Washington, with one husband, one science baby, two cats, three hot dogs in 2021, only because I'm a disgusting filth monster who cannot go to Costco without getting a hot dog, even if it's 10 in the morning.
Well, I mean, it's such a bargain over there.
Yeah, I mean, why would you not?
How could you resist?
Yeah.
We have I'm sure any religious texts in the house belong to Dory.
I do have some religious texts.
And then beyond that, I agree with myself in that dream. You do need to get the latest religious text.
You need to know what's going on.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, what are you going to do? Have outdated religious texts? Come on.
That would be mortifying.
Haircut Henry. Well, how did we decide? His, you know, it was just in his eyes so much. It seemed to bother him, and therefore it then bothered me.
Yeah.
So then we did an at-home cut that I did that was a real doofus looking.
It was so bad.
Then Dory claims I messed up again this week, which I don't see it. I think it looks normal.
I mean.
It does.
It looks okay.
Yeah, thank you. I've gotten better. Just wait till my third haircut happens.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, other than that, yeah, we took Henry to a haircut place. Dory did take him to a place that specializes in children's haircuts. He's been twice. First time was okay. Second time, not so good. And the third time, with the most recent time, I trimmed his bangs because they were in his eyes.
Yeah.
And right now, he just bops around like a beetle.
Yeah. He's got great hair.
He's got a mop top.
Yeah.
So that's that. Yeah, that's my. What am I calling this? That's my haircut advice on children.
Matt's haircut corner.
Yeah, don't do it yourself. It'll look real wonky.
Yeah.
But if you do it yourself, it'll look less wonky the second time.
Good advice.
Thank you.
All right. Should we take another break?
Okay.
Okay.
Be right back.
Be right back.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
All right, we're back. The phone lines are lighting up.
Yep.
Let's hear from our first caller.
Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. How are you all doing?
Well, thank you.
This is Laura from Seward, Pennsylvania. Now I moved. I am starting a fertility journey, which I never thought I would. Like, kids used to be something that I wanted, but then I met a really great guy, and we want to start a family. It was a shock to me. He said to me out of the blue the one day, I want a baby. And I'm like, okay. I do have some issues, like, with my plumbing. I'm actually going in on the 11th for a biopsy of my endometrial lining because I have had so much irregular bleeding my entire life. I was big. I'm actually the one who had the gastric bypass, lost about 340 pounds now. I just hit 199 today. Woohoo! So I'm having that biopsy done. Well,
congratulations.
I'm worried it's cancer.
That's crazy.
Because I'll have up to 2 or 3 period cycles a month.
And it's not cancer.
Very scary. And my doctor is now concerned, and it's going to be a big shock whenever I go into the appointment and say, well, I need a fertility workup too because we want a baby. And the other issue is that we are in dire need of sperm because he's a trans man and obviously can't bring that to the party. So we're looking for anybody with sperm suggestions. I don't know. That's such a, it's just a weird thing.
I don't know if you're calling to a podcast looking for anyone with sperm.
Yeah, this is also exciting because I asked him, I was like, how excited can I be about this? He's like, very excited. He's like, I didn't think this was something that you would want or be able to do with the issues that you've been having. So life is just great. But like I said, I'm now in Seward because we just moved in together a few months ago. So it's a two-story house. Not sure how much square footage, just like my old house. We have 4 dogs, 2 cats, and ready to just give so much more love. Bye, guys. Oh, 0 hot dogs between 2 of us because we both had gastric bypass. Bye.
Did you guys meet in the program? Or that's amazing. Talk about like biggest life swings of callers.
Yes, Laura.
Laura, you've really done it quite a bit.
Very,
you've done a lot.
Very
Laura.
Depressed.
Yeah.
We got some really depressed voicemails
But
from
also,
Laura.
I mean, now that's like this, like, most changed.
Yeah.
I would say most.
Laura, your voice sounds different. Like,
you're
you have a spring in your step.
You have a pep in your pop. You have a pop in your pep. What? Okay. Now, yes, I mean we've had plenty of listeners who were trans male and needed sperm. Like we've had that, I believe, a couple of times.
Yes, we have had that situation. We've also had situations where both partners were trans and the male member of the partnership, mm-hmm. the male partner stopped taking their testosterone and got pregnant.
Right.
So we've had that situation call in.
I mean, look, there are ways to do it. And also, someone with a low sperm count, I gotta imagine it can't be that hard to find sperm out there.
There's probably sperm.
It's probably sperm everywhere.
Somewhere.
Turn a black light on in that new house. You'll find some.
Ew.
Ew, that's so gross, man.
Matt.
Ew, that's so gross.
Well, Laura, congratulations. You sound really happy. And we're just
Mazel
thrilled.
Tov.
We're just thrilled for all of your
I like that you're,
life
you have
changes.
Two stories. You have multiple 4-legged animals.
It's just sounds great.
Congratulations.
All right. We're going to hear another voice memo from someone who has 2 kids and has embryos in the freezer that she wasn't sure what to do with. So here we go.
Hello. I'm calling in response to Beth's question about having some embryos left in storage and not being sure what to do with them definitively and kind of going back and forth and belaboring the decision. So I just wanted to share my own similar experience with that. Not saying that this is what will happen to her, but this was a situation that I found myself in recently, and so I thought I could offer my perspective. So my husband and I have 2 kids, 6 and 3. Our first was conceived spontaneously. Our second, we needed to go through the IVF process to conceive. And we had 2 frozen embryos after my son was born. And they've been, you know, in the freezer for a few years. And we've kind of been, you know, toying with the idea of, do we want to try for a third with those frozen embryos? What do we want to do? It's so expensive, all of that. You know, we're incredibly grateful for our kids and we're really happy. But it was sort of just like Beth said, it was kind of, they're kind of just sitting there and it felt like we should do something about it. So we decided, as soon as things got a little safer pandemic wise over the summer, we decided to transfer one. So we did a transfer that failed. And so at that point we decided, you know, we might as well try the second one. Although I will say, like, after the first one, we got more excited and invested in the idea of having the third child. So then we transferred the second one. It also didn't work. And at that point, we felt kind of like we had invested in this. We were committed to this idea. So then we were at a loss because we knew we didn't want to go through IVF again. But now we are kind of excited and enthusiastic and really wanting this third child. So we decided we would do a natural cycle with Clomid. So we did that, and I got pregnant, which was exciting. But when I was going in for betas, my levels weren't rising, and I just knew something wasn't right with the timing of all of it. And so I kind of waited. I had scans. Finally, they diagnosed me with a suspected ectopic, but they couldn't really find it. We decided to take the shot to dissolve the tissue, since we didn't know where it was, rather than do the surgical option. So I did that. And then I was, you know, folding laundry on a Saturday morning a few days later, and I suddenly got a horrible pain in my right side, and I had to rush to the ER and have emergency surgery because it had ruptured.
Oh my goodness.
And so at that point, even before the surgery happened, I was like, okay, that's it. Like, I'm done. We're done. And so I feel grounded in that now, but it kind of took that trauma to actually bring me to that point, which is hard. So again, this is not to say that this is what will happen with the listener, but I kind of wanted to share just this situation and how it all unfolded and how my feelings evolved over the course of it with her, in case it's helpful. I think that's all. I'm calling from the Boston area. We live in 1,200 square feet with two adults, a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 12-year-old cat, and two 6-month-old pandemic kittens that I convinced my husband that we needed, well, with the help of my 6-year-old. We are definitely a hot dog loving family, but I would say our hot dog count is only at about 5 so far this year, but very psyched for hot dog season in the near future.
You get access to KM Natural Casing hot dogs. And also Essam. Yes'm, it's Essam.
Yes'm, it's Essam.
SM Hot Dogs and KM Natural Casings. And you can go to the store and buy Fenway Franks right in the grocer's freezer, thanks to Market Basket.
Wow. thank you for sharing your experience.
You probably get them at Star Market, too. Mm-hmm. Or Stop and Show Up.
Mm-hmm.
Or Hannaford.
Okay. Anywhere else?
I think those are all the New England...
There's Wegmans now.
Grocery stores I can think of.
Wegmans is in
Massachusetts. I don't count it. I don't count it because it wasn't there when I was there.
Okay.
That's how I feel about Wegmans. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Did you have Christie's?
Christie's Pizza?
No, it was like a convenience store.
No, we had Store 24, Tedeschi's, and Lemon Tree.
You didn't have Little Peach either?
Oh, we had Little Peach, yeah. Oh,
okay.
I hadn't thought of Little Peach in a while.
Yeah, Little Peach.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, what about Cumberland Farms?
Cumbies?
Cumbies.
all right. This is from Anonymous. Hello. I just wanted to respond to the listener last week who's wondering whether she has PCOS. There are a lot of misconceptions about PCOS, and I wanted to share a few things I've learned. PCOS has a terrible name for the disorder because it makes it seem like cysts in the ovaries are part of the problem, but the cysts are actually just follicles in the ovaries. People with PCOS have more follicles than normal in their ovaries, and those are the cysts. The main hallmark of PCOS is irregular cycles. There are too many follicles, and no one follicle becomes dominant and turns into a mature egg, so there's no ovulation and no period. This is the clearest explanation of PCOS that I've ever heard.
Yes.
Many people also have higher levels of testosterone, insulin resistance, and metabolic syndrome, but those aren't always present in every patient. About 1/3 of patients with PCOS are normal weight. Those who want a better, more detailed medical description should check out the podcast As a Woman by Dr. Natalie Crawford, an REI. There are helpful episodes on PCOS and IVF. As someone who was diagnosed with PCOS in my 30s, only as part of an infertility workup, I understand the frustration with the disease. When you present to a doctor with irregular periods, they usually just run a few labs to make sure you don't have thyroid issues, etc., and then kind of shrug their shoulders. I'm actually a primary care doctor, so I have lots of patients with PCOS, and it's a hard condition because we don't have a ton of treatments for it. For people who are overweight or have evidence of insulin resistance, diet changes or metformin can help. But generally, the main treatment is birth control, which helps regulate cycles and hormone levels. I've also recently found that myo-inositol, which is an over-the-counter supplement, has really helped normalize my cycles. Back to the listener last week wondering about the cysts she gets on her chest. She could have hidradenitis suppurativa, an inflammatory condition that causes recurrent cysts, usually in the groin or armpits, but also other places. Anyway, thanks for all you do. I started listening to this podcast about 6 months ago when we first decided to do IVF, and it has been so helpful to hear what others are going through. This is such a long road, so easy to feel alone in the process, so the way you normalize it all is so helpful. I did an egg retrieval in February, and today had surgery to remove a polyp from my uterus, so hopefully we'll get the okay to finally do a transfer next month.
Clearing the runway.
I've been there. Anonymous in Denver in 1,700 square feet with a husband. A 40-pound cattle dog mix pup. No hot dogs, just a few brats in 2021.
Mm. Brats, sausages are really outnumbering dogs.
Yeah. And, you know, Julia, our pal Julia Schulenberg also wrote in to suggest that the person had hidradenitis suppurativa.
Oh, look at that.
So we got two diagnoses.
Armpit, groin, buttocks, et cetera.
All right. Connor wrote in to say, how are you doing? We are doing okay. I finally got a new job after being unemployed for almost a year after the music industry disappeared overnight last March.
Wow. Congrats.
Is it common to find out you have PCOS after your first pregnancy? When my wife was pregnant with our first, there were no issues. The whole process was smooth. Afterwards, she did get her period for almost a full year. Her OBGYN diagnosed her with PCOS and put her on metformin. It helped a little, but her period still isn't regular. Any tips on regulating this would be great. We are trying for a second child, but not having luck so far. Maybe we need to take another trip to St. Helena. I don't know what that reference is, but he put a wine glass emoji.
I mean, who doesn't need to take a trip to wine glass emojis?
Matt, any new video games, guitars? Do you have any tips on kicking a bad junk food / candy habit?
Yes.
Connor from New Jersey, 4 hot dogs this week.
Connor.
Eight or so in 2021.
So you've had half your hot dogs in the last week for the year.
Yeah, big week.
Any new video games? Well, I've been playing Zombieland on the Oculus. Zombieland Headshot. I don't want to brag, but...
No, brag.
At a couple of the levels, I am ranked number one in the world. I'm in the top 10 in all of them. So I will say that is fun. When I got first place in one of them, I didn't know what to do, so I sent a screen, because it's all tied to Facebook and I don't use Facebook. I sent a screenshot, and you can only send it to like Facebook people, so I randomly just sent the screenshot to Dory so I could somehow have this image of me, of my name up there at the top of the leaderboard. So as of last night, actually, I shaved.
I was like, why are you messaging me
on Facebook? I shaved 3/1000ths of a second off of a time last night. And that just put a bigger gap between me and second place.
Wow.
I was trying to break the 24-second barrier. So I'm at 25.083 seconds. Anyway, I've been playing that game. It's really actually came out this year. It's pretty fun. If you have an Oculus, go for it. New guitars. No, I have that Pelham Blue SG that got a couple months ago, and that's pretty much it. I've sold some guitars recently because I started a golf habit, and junk food, candy habit. I mean, the only thing that's ever really worked for me is having the cheat day set aside, and what happens is I do, when I get the cravings, I write it down in my phone, in a notes, or on a piece of paper, whatever. I write down what the craving was. Okay, so, and then I go a couple days like that. And then by, like, the third or fourth day, it gets easier because I know that the cheat day is coming in 2 or 3 days. So I'm not gonna break it. I'm not gonna just have what I want. And then when the cheat day rolls around, I wake up that morning like it's Christmas. So every week it's like a Christmas morning. And I have what I want. And then I have so much of it that I feel gross and then don't want it for like 2 days, and then I start getting the cravings again on the third day, and then by then it's only 3 days away for the next cheat
day.
So that's my tip.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
All right.
Hannifer?
Yeah, this is from Jennifer. Hi, Dory and Matt. Quick question for Henry's swim lessons. Did you just ask if the instructor had received the vaccine? Did you ask them to show you their vaccine card or just trust what they told you? I've been wanting to sign my son up for swim lessons as well, but not sure how to navigate this. I would like to think people/businesses are honest about this. Any advice would be appreciated. So happy to hear you're moving forward with the transfer. Can't wait to hear all the updates on the podcast. Best wishes.
Well, you got your wishes this week, Jennifer.
Jennifer from the Chicago suburbs. In a 1,500 square foot house, my husband, 13-month-old son, 100-pound dog. No hot dogs this year. Oh, sorry, God. Matt. We will get on that this summer. Yeah, I just asked both of them. I mean, the first one was like, no. And then the second one who were using said, oh, yes, of course I'm vaccinated. One of the kids she works with is high risk. I don't know. She was like very
the
emphatic.
Song and dance was convincing.
Yes, she was very emphatic that she was vaccinated. So I did not ask to see her vaccination card. But yeah, I think just straight up asking,
yeah,
is always always helpful. All right, we got a very interesting voice memo about COVID in Australia.
Crikey.
Hey, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau, long-time listener, first-time caller. My name's Susan. I live in Brisbane, Australia. And after the discussion about how Australia and Canada have been handling the pandemic, I thought it might be interesting for me to call in for the how other countries are handling COVID portion of the podcast. So it's true that in Australia we have almost no COVID. I looked it up. We have in total just over 30,000 cases and 910 deaths since the start of the pandemic.
Oh, my
so
God.
Thought maybe you'd be interested to hear a bit about That's how amazing. That happened and also hear a bit about what we're not happy about here that you might not hear so much about in other parts of the world. So firstly, obviously we're an island, so locking down our borders was pretty simple. It was easy to keep COVID out that way. Mm-hmm. So we now have a travel bubble with New Zealand, but otherwise international travel is basically on hold and likely to be until next year. Next, we have a decent social safety net. We're pretty left-leaning as a whole, and we have socialized medicine. We have pretty halfway decent, at least, unemployment benefits. Mm-hmm. And we also introduced a JobKeeper subsidy last year, which was paid to anyone who had a job but was stood down from their job. So they got $1,200 a fortnight, which kept people in employment, wow. Which was great. Another thing that was useful for parents was that they actually made daycare free for a good 6 months or so. So we were encouraged to keep kids home from school and daycare. But if you wanted to or needed to have your kids still in daycare, if you were an essential worker, you could send them for free. So that meant you could keep your place even if you didn't send your kid. And daycares were able to stay open and stay afloat, which was pretty amazing. I think another big thing about Australia is we're actually pretty compliant. People talk about Australia being a nanny state. We generally do what we're asked. I think we have a fairly good sense of looking after the community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people wear masks here even before lockdown starts sometimes. So I think that's been really helpful for us. So where I live, we had a lockdown from March to June last year, but since then we've been pretty open. Other parts of Australia have had much longer lockdowns, so it has been more difficult in other places, but where I live, we've been fairly unscathed. And so now whenever a few cases do make it out into the community, we do a snap lockdown. So we'll do 3 days of lockdown. Jeez. And 14 days after that, we have to wear masks when you go out and there's some basic limits. So that seems to be working pretty well. We've had two of those lockdowns since the start of this year and people are, as I said, generally pretty compliant. So onto some issues. One big thing is the no travel piece. Aussies love to travel. We're in the middle of nowhere and we're stuck. And that's, you know, it looks like it'll be a long time before we can travel in or out of the country easily. And also people are stranded overseas. So Aussies wanting to come back. Yes, they can come back and do 2 weeks of mandatory hotel quarantine, but that's really expensive and there's very few flights. So friends of ours recently have done it and it's cost them upwards of about $40,000. So,
jeez.
You know, not that accessible for your average person. So there's a lot of people who are really upset about that. And then the next big one is vaccines. We don't have any of the mRNA vaccines here. We can't manufacture them. We don't have the capacity. And our federal government decided not to do that last year. So we put all our money on the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. And then, of course, we heard about the blood clots issues recently, which meant that we decided to say that anyone under 50 shouldn't have that vaccine. You still can, but they're recommending that you don't. And because there's no COVID, most people most people won't have it. And now we're waiting for Pfizer, which we won't get until about October. So it's a good six more months till the majority of the population will even start to be vaccinated. So that also then means, you know, we're not likely to be traveling in or out of the country other than New Zealand, if we're lucky, till at least next year. So that's been a pretty major issue and people are pretty upset about that.
Wow.
So that's, hopefully that was interesting. I feel really lucky that we've had COVID under control here for so long. My heart definitely goes out to people who have been through much longer lockdowns like you guys. I think it's been amazing not to have to worry about COVID. It's been great to be able to just walk outside and not think about it.
I definitely
feel for you guys, and hope that now that you're vaccinated, you can have a much better summer in 2021. Thanks for listening. Susan in Brisbane in 2800 square feet. We're the partner, 3-year-old non-science daughter, and a 7-year-old border collie cross kelpie. Thanks for everything you do. Bye.
I love it. That is some good, updated right there. I'm very interested in this situation. Because it seems like also like the UK had to go back into lockdown not that long ago. I know I talked to my sister and she was in lockdown still a couple weeks ago for my niece's birthday. We're all on the Zoom and I was talking to her about that. And then I know Canada snapped back.
Well,
golf just started to come back in the UK too. Like the courses were closed.
Well, let's hear about Canada from our next email.
All right.
Hi, I wrote last week about COVID in Canada. To clarify, Canada locked down in March 2020 like the rest of the world. In the summer of 2020, things were relatively good in large parts of Canada, especially compared to the States. Since a big part of the Canadian national identity is comparing ourselves to America, many here were feeling pretty smug. The second wave started in fall 2020. In Ontario, this culminated in a lockdown slash stay-at-home order in late December and early January, although I just had a baby at that time, so the sequence of things are kind of fuzzy. Our lockdown continues, though the increased police powers have been rolled back because of the intense public outcry.
Jeez.
Yep. Yep.
It is wild.
It is wild. All right. We are going to end, with a voicemail.
Okay.
A voice memo. Sorry.
All right. Okay. What about your big feet? Is it your feet? Did your feet call?
My feet phoned. They had to get a big phone. Extra big phone.
Hello, Matt and Dory. I just wanted to weigh in really quickly on the shoe size debate. If you think Dory has big feet, I just wanted, I wonder what you would think about mine. I had size 11 women's feet before I got pregnant, and then after my second baby, it went up to 11 and a half women's. I cannot find shoes anywhere. I have to buy men's shoes, so I wear size men 11. Which is actually bigger than my husband. My husband has 10 and a half. And so now when he buys shoes, he buys size 11 so that we can share them.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's very thoughtful.
It's a real joy. thanks for everything you do. And I'll keep listening. Thanks.
That's funny.
So, there you go.
Oh, I tried to get some shoes. I was telling people today at the party about this. I tried to buy those Lego Adidas shoes from StockX, and the pair that I bought, StockX was like, we could not authenticate these, so here's your money back.
Wait, for you?
For me.
Oh, so personally. You and Henry could have matching Lego Adidas?
Adidas, yeah.
Aw, that's cute.
But it's the first time they've ever like not been like, this is not pass muster.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So they're doing their job.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Wow, crazy that like those are being counterfeited. I guess everything's counterfeited.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this bombshell show. Hope you enjoyed it.
I mean, look, an hour. Finally, we're doing an hour again.
Well, we have more to talk about now.
That's true.
Reminder, you can support us on Patreon. You can get this hot news hot off the press. What?
Sure.
get up to 2 bonus episodes a month. Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure. We are very appreciative of our Patreon supporters. And if you support us at the $5 level or above, you not only get bonus episodes, we also get your name read on the podcast each month and the back catalog of the Patreon episodes.
Yes. So thank you to the following: Carolyn Land,
Greg Watchhorn,
Jennifer HS,
Melody Balthazar,
Angie James,
Tyler Rosewood,
Abba M,
Alan L,
Alec Meredith Fletcher, and Florence Babel,
Alex Liu,
Amanda Lighty,
Amy,
and Flucker.
Some anonymize.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. April Cherry.
Ariana Perry.
Ashley Sicily.
Aurora and Zelda.
Becca Foster.
Bianca Loria.
Britt S. Baker.
Bruno Macias.
Carly Moore.
Carolyn N.
Kathy Hill.
Shanami Worth.
Christina Smith.
Cynthia Meisner.
Debbie Meredith, a.k.a. Lex Conant's mom.
Tell them to call us.
Yep.
Diana.
Diana Robinson.
Diana Martin.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Edwina Goodenham.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
Elena Paling.
Elizabeth Hirado.
Emily F.
Emily Harden.
Aaron.
Aaron Gudge.
Aaron Turley.
And Frederick Roy.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you all for supporting, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.